As we go there and read God's precious word, the Bible says in verse 18, they prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not done wickedly, have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him. I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright thou wilt show upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. Father, I pray now that you will take me as your vessel, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these thy people. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Help me not to get in the way. Help today to be like it was for those three disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. When they opened their eyes, the Bible said they saw no one save Jesus only. Help us to see Jesus. Help us to see you, Lord. And then help us to see ourselves. If anyone's here who's not saved, there's no way to get to heaven except it be through Jesus. Convince them of that through the Holy Spirit. And for those of us who are going, help us to go more and more each day, being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing as we've been looking at this psalm here. Psalm 18, this version of it in the Psalms, mirroring David's original version of it in 2 Samuel. After defeating his enemies, in my opinion, later in life, after reflecting on all of his circumstances, and remembering all of his trials, and reminiscing on all of his struggles, David looked back and he saw something that was faithful. He saw something that was timeless. He saw something that was tested and that was true. He found somebody had never let him down. We've been focusing in verse number 18 on the phrase, "But the Lord was my stay." And that word "but" there is a transitional word indicating some contrast. In other words, there were a lot of things in my life that shifted, but one thing in my life that stayed. There were a lot of things in my life that changed, but one thing in my life that was constant. There were a lot of things in my life that were fluctuating, but one person in my life was faithful. And David said, "But the Lord was my stay." He supported me. He sustained me. He kept me going. He was the one that would bear my steps and solidify my progress. He was the one that was there when no one else was there. And David is rejoicing in this psalm, Psalm 18, rendition of 2 Samuel. He's rejoicing in this psalm. He's remembering God. And by the way, he's talking about God to the people of God. He's singing a song to God and to the people of God. In so many words, he's saying, "Let me tell you about my God." If you want to hear an exciting Christian, that's a Christian on the move telling folks about his God. And if you've been saved for 1 week or for 35, 40, 50 years, you've got something to tell somebody about your God. Our songs may sound different. Our backgrounds may be diverse. Our situations may certainly be in a variety of different kinds. But all of us who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, have been born again by the Spirit of God, who've been walking with God through this journey called life, should be able to say without apology that the Lord has been my stay. Now, David goes into this psalm, and as he jumps in, he begins, first of all, with a personal delight expressed. He's singing a song as a servant of God. And by the way, the best songs come from servants. Amen. See, the best way to sing about your master is to serve him. Amen. And David said, I've been doing this thing for a while. And as his servant is written in the caption before the psalm begins to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. Now I guarantee you, if you get to heaven and find David on Hallelujah Square and ask him, David, of all the titles that you love the most about yourself, which one was it? I'm telling you, I don't believe he'll say giant killer. I don't believe he'll say psalmist. I don't believe he'll say king. I don't believe he'll say warrior. I don't believe he'll say wise man. I believe that David will say, the way I want to be remembered is as the servant of the Lord. Psalm 116, 16. Oh Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Listen, David said, before I get into this song, he said, don't worry about clout for me. This psalm isn't about me. Don't worry about who I am. This is not about me. This is about my God. He's the one who's important. I am just a servant. He says, I've got love and commitment. I will love the Lord. Oh, if he's your stay today, why don't you love him? Amen. I love the songs about love today. We love the Lord. God loves us. No greater love. Calvary love is a causing love. We love him because he first loved us. The best way to love God is to think about how he loves you. He says, my loving commitment is continued with my lasting conviction. He says in verse 2, some things about the Lord. Watch this now. He's my strength. Verse number 1. Verse number 2, he's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my God. He's my strength. He's my buckler. He's the horn of my salvation. He's my high tower. Now that'll preach right there. Amen. He says, he's my strength. He's my shelter. He's my shield. He's my stability. He's my security. He's my safety. He's my strong tower. Hey, who else do you need when you've got God? Lasting conviction, he says. And because of that, there'll be a leaning call. I will call upon the Lord. In other words, because he's my shield, I'm not going to look for anybody else to defend me. Because he's my shelter, I'm not going to run to anybody else and hide. Because he's my strength, I'm not going to trust on anybody to give me power. Because he's my high tower, I'm not going to try to solve my own problems. Because he's my rock, on him I'll stand. Because he's my fortress, in him I'll hide. Because he's my deliverer, I know he'll save me. Because he's my God, I don't need no other God. The Lord is my stay. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. He said, I've been in some binds and I've been in some quandaries, but I know one thing about my stay. He ain't gonna let me down. And then he continues on. Last week we got into the powerful deliverance experience, the personal delight expressed, number one, followed by the powerful deliverance experience. And David exposed us to some things that he had dealt with as a servant of God. Some deathly scenarios. The sorrows of death compassed me. The sorrows of hell, verse number 5, compassed me round about. Some dangerous surroundings. See, he said, I was in the snares of death. Some distressful situations. I found myself crying. I found myself sorrowful. I found myself with no way out. I found myself alone. He said, I've been in some dark spots. I've been in some places where I couldn't find my way. I couldn't see my own hand in front of me. He said, I've been in some tough situations. He said, but in my deathly scenarios, in my dangerous surroundings, in my distressful situation, in my dark spots, he said, I found some desperate supplication. Now watch this now. He said, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. I'm glad that no matter how dark it gets, no matter how distressful it gets, no matter how deathly it gets, no matter how dangerous it gets, nobody can cut off my direct line to the throne of God. He said, I called on God. Oh, he heard me. He heard me. He said, I made a heartfelt cry, but I had some hearing communication. In other words, God heard me. I didn't just say words, but my words got to the throne. God heard me. You may be here today distressed and in despair, but let me tell you something. You can call on God. You can call on God, and God will hear you. Ladies and gentlemen, one of our greatest weapons, offensive weapons, as children of God, is the weapon of prayer. We don't pray enough. We don't pray fervently. We don't pray effectually. We don't pray desperately. We don't pray with faith in our hearts. We don't pray without wavering. But I'm going to encourage you, men ought always to pray and not faint. Listen, many preaching men have fainted, but never has a praying man fainted. Did you hear me? Preaching is what we do in public. Praying is what we do in private. Oh God, give us praying men, women, boys and girls who found some desperate supplication that was effectual to Almighty God. And then he said there was a demonstrated sovereignty. God came through. Now what did God do? God showed up and God showed out. God showed his power. God showed his presence. God showed his phenomenon, his strong power, his supreme presence, his saving phenomenon. He came through and helped me. God showed me that his presence was with me. And when it was dark, he made the darkness a place where he and I could dwell. In other words, I don't have to get out the trial to find God. God will join me in the trial. Amen. I know you want to get out some situations in your life, but sometimes the best place to be is where you are. Amen. God knows how to join you, and God can take the walls around you that seem like they're oppressing you and make those walls of privacy, make those walls of intimacy, and those things in your life that seem to be closing you in, instead of closing you in from God, they can close you in with God. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we abhor the things in our lives that we don't necessarily like, that we don't necessarily ask for, but it's those times in our lives when we get in those situations where we begin to learn that God is faithful and that he's not just the God of the mountaintop, he's the God of the valley. He's not just the God in the light, he's the God at night. He's not just the God when things are going well, he's the God when I'm surrounded by the sorrows of hell. He's not just the God when I've got a crowd, he's the God when I'm standing by myself. He's not just the God when I have money, he's the God when I'm broke. He's not just the God when I'm healthy, he's the God when I don't feel well. He's not just the God when things add up, he's the God when things don't make sense. He is our stay. Wow. Said God sent from above, drew me out of the waters. What a salvation. Delivered me from my strong enemy, from them that hated me. They were too strong for me. They prevented me. He said they were stopping me, but God showed up. He was my stay. Look at this verse here. He brought me into a large place. Well, now watch this now. When I was closed in, he came and found me. And he made being closed in not so bad. But I didn't stay closed in. He picked me up from that small place where I was trapped and delivered me to a large place. In other words, God gave me some room to work with. Amen. Hey, aren't you glad that God doesn't keep you crowded in forever? Aren't you glad that God doesn't keep you on lockdown forever? By the way, he's still with us every step of the way. And I'm glad for that. But I'm glad for the songwriter that said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now God says his grace is sufficient and he will go with us through the difficult times. But thank God he doesn't leave us in the difficult times. He was with Paul and Silas when they were beaten. He was with them when they were there at Philippi and locked up in prison. He was there, and you know he was there because at midnight they were singing songs and praises to the Lord. But he didn't keep them locked up there. The Bible says the earth shook, the prison bars broke loose, the shackles fell down, and they marched out of the prison. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying sing to God when you're in prison, but expect God to take you out. What a God. He brought me to a large place. Now, look at verse 19. He delivered me. I like this. Because he delighted in me. Well, I call this a delightful showing of God. We're still looking at his powerful deliverance experience, a delightful show. Here's what David, came to grips with. He said, all this deliverance that I experienced about God. He said, behind it all was His love. What's His love? He did what He did for me because He loves me. Now, I love, I don't know how Pastor Mike was all up in my mind when he picked these songs this morning. But think about this. Who am I that you are mindful of? That you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing. Listen to the songwriter. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me. Listen to the bridge. God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, it makes sense for us to call Him friend because we're bad and He's good. It doesn't make sense for Him to call us friends because He's good. And somebody say amen. He said, listen, David said, I got to wrap my head around the fact that you delivered me because you delighted in me. There's nothing lovely about me. There are no merits in me. There's no good in me. Paul made it very clear. There's nothing to do with good. We're all together gone astray. We're all like sheep that have gone astray. There is none righteous, no, not one. We all come short of the glory of God. All our righteousness is ours as filthy rags. But David says, somehow, in all my failures, and in all my faults, and in all my flaws, and in all my frailties, he said, a holy God who put the stars in space, who put the moon in place, who created man from the very dust of the ground. He said, I'm going to have a hard time understanding it, but I believe it with all my heart. He loves me. Wow, that helps me. He delivered me because He loves me. In other words, I have somebody in my corner who loves me. Now I don't want to bust your bubble. And I don't want to get in your business. But I'm going to tell you right now. There are some people who will have very short-lived 10 years in your life. And the reason why their temporary tenures seem to define the depth of their relationship with you is because they are with you for the wrong reason. You see, when they come and go, they came and went for the wrong reason. See, when they come and stay, they get there for the right reason and they stay there for the right reason. I'm going to tell you something. There's only one reason that lasts through the test of time that keeps folks together, and that is love. That's why Paul said charity suffers long and is kind. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It's not puffed up. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be prophecies, they shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is come, perfect is come, then that which is done in part shall be done away. Listen to me. He said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. We see through a glass darkly, but one day we're going to see clearly. Now abideth these things, faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Listen, you want something to last, you better have love there. And he said, I look back through my steps in life and I see some drifting and some wandering, and I see a lot of oopses and my bads. He said, but God didn't use that as the only factor when He was my stay. There was something pushing him to keep in my corner. And that was, He loved me. Now listen to me. If you got 18 things going wrong today, I want to give you a 19th that will supersede all 18. God loves you. I want to tell you something. God loves you. Now listen to me. I don't believe prophets are still here today. I don't think there's a need for them because we have the Word of God completed. But I'm going to step out on a prophetic limb today. And I won't tell you a year from now if you're still on planet Earth. Now watch this now. Tell people your pastor told the future on a snowy day. I can't tell you what the weather's going to do next year, but I'm going to tell you 1 year from today at this time, about 12:20 on February 21-22 of 2016. Watch this now. God's going to love you. God's going to love you. Now you're going to lose some folks along the way, but God's going to love you. God's going, and you're going to have to wrap yourself in the truth of that, in the authenticity of that, in the validity of that, in the immutability of that, in the eternality of that. I'm just simply saying there are some things that are not for sale, non-negotiable. They don't wither away. They don't fade off. They don't get voted out. They don't expire. They don't need to be renewed. And that is the love of God. You say, how can God keep loving me? I tell you why. Because God keeps being God, and God is love. And if God is love, and God keeps being God, then God will never stop loving me. What a joy. Now, Paul, David comes off of that climax and then jumps into the third point where I want to look today. His personal delight expressed. His powerful deliverance experience. Well, this is what I call his pure devotion exemplified. Now, here's what I want you to see. He spends the last part of that verse saying, God delivered me because he delighted in me. But then he jumps into the next part of the song and says, however, there were some decisions about how I was going to live that I had to make for God's glory that moved God to be my stay. Now here's what he's saying. He's saying, yes, God loves me, and I'm glad he does. But he also rewards me. His love is unconditional, regardless of what I do. But his rewards are conditional based on what I do. Did you hear that? His love unconditional regardless of what I do. His rewards conditional based on what I do. Now listen to me. God's never going to stop loving you. But there are some things that he will do to you based on what you do for him. There are some things that he won't do for you based on what you won't do for him. So here David takes the next several verses and says, there are some times in my life where God's been there for me. And the reason why God was there for me is because I was there for him. Here's what he's saying. Every man, woman, boy on the face of this earth can experience the love of God. But only those who've made their mind up that they're going to live for God and they're going to serve God and they're going to be devoted to God. Only they can experience the great rewards from God. And here's what he's saying. If you don't demonstrate some devotion for him, you're going to miss out on some of his defense. Now look at what David says here. Number one, my pure devotion exemplified. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hand. Right now, here's his pure devotion exemplified. Number one, he had a clean walk. I said he had a clean walk. Now the theme of this passage is the Lord was my stay. But here's what David's saying. You know why he stayed me? You know why he supported me? You know why he backed me up? Because I wasn't living dirty. He rewarded me according to the cleanness of my hands. So now watch this now. Because what happens is we get to verse number 19, and then we hear he delighted in me, and we just jump into the pool of God's love. Can't swim, but we go to the deep end. No life jacket, no lifeguard on duty. Jump on in. Oh, the love of God. I'd love to drown in it and thank God for it. But right after we're drowning in the love of God, here come the waves of God's justice. And God says, yeah, while you're smooth sailing, laying on the beach, enjoying the sunshine of my goodness, just rest assured that just as unchangeable as my goodness is, so is my justice. And where my love won't allow me to not be fond of you, my justice won't allow me to reward nonsense. And he says, now I'm looking back over my life. And I'm looking at God's goodness to me. He said, but you know, I'm beginning to understand. It pays to be clean. He said, the cleanness of my hand. No, watch this. He said, over the years, and by the way, you and I are familiar with the fact that David was not a perfect man. Right? But he did demonstrate Proverbs 24:7, a just man falls seven times and rises up again. What makes a just man just is not that he falls. What makes him just is that he gets up. And many men fall and stay falling. But just men fall and get up. Amen. I was reading this week, and I guess it was yesterday, the day before, reading 2 Timothy. And I guess TJ was sharing it in men's prayer yesterday about Paul getting to the end of his life. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And he gets to the end of the chapter and said, at one point in my life, no man stood with me. He said, but the Lord stood me. But a few verses before that, he starts listing. And by the way, I like Paul because Paul goes through his epistles and he lists people who had been in his life. You read the book of Romans chapter 16. And name after name after name after name after name after name after name. Paul remembered the people that were with him. But you know, it's an amazing thing. Paul spent a lot of time investing in a lot of people's lives, but he did not have a lot of close friends. And he got to the end of his life, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he said, only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me. Out of all the people I've been with, only Luke is with me. Then he says, Demas, back to the world. But take John Mark, for he's profitable. Here's what he's saying. John Mark messed up, got homesick, left the work. But he said he learned his lesson. And you know what? I think he's ready to come on back. So that's what just people do. They fall down, but they get back up. Now, listen, he said, I had clean hands. Now, we know he messed up with Bathsheba. But he's talking about over the duration of his life, he learned that if you clean, God will reward you. Amen. I my clean hands. In other words, I didn't put my hands on just anything. I didn't put my hands in just any kind of situation. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Isn't that what the scripture said? He that passeth by and meddleth with strife. In other words, you can walk by trouble. Something the best thing to do when you walk by trouble is keep walking on by trouble. But sometimes we don't get in mess because we started it. We get in mess because we saw it and jump in it. Somebody say amen. And Paul said, David said rather, he said, I've got clean hands. But wait a minute now. It doesn't mean that he lived in a clean world, but he understood when dirtiness and filth is around me, sometimes the best thing to do is keep my hands out of it. Otherwise, it's going to be like reaching up to a dog that's untrained. You reach out with a hand, but come back with a nub. And many a Christian today is missing spiritual members because they put their hands in mess that they should have kept on passing by. I'd like to ask you today, do you have clean hands? Are your hands clean? What did you put your hands in this week? What did you touch that you should have just left alone? What did this finger click on? What did this finger scroll past? What did you get involved in that you shouldn't have got involved in? What conversation did you join that you should have passed? What friend did you hang out with that you should have avoided? What phone call did you hit answer to that you should have hit ignore? He said, God stayed me. But I would have missed out on the support of God if I'd have kept getting my hands dirty. I had a clean walk. Watch this now. He said I had consistent ways. Verse number 21. I've kept the ways of the Lord. I've kept the ways of the Lord. Consistent ways. Now, what do you mean, David? He says, I have not wickedly departed from my God. Now, he didn't say I haven't sinned. He said, I have not wickedly departed from my God. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. As long as we're sinners, we will sin. But our sin does not have to conclude in departing from God. He said, I've not. Oh, no, I messed up with Bathsheba, but I ain't apart from God. Amen. Because just as sure as 2 Samuel 11 is in the Bible, Psalm 51 is too. Okay, so aren't you, and by the way, aren't you glad that God isn't one-sided? Aren't you glad that God didn't just record the failure of David, but the Holy Ghost of God also recorded the repentance of David? Doesn't that show you that God's a loving God? Even in his judgment, he is loving. He sent Nathan to bust him upside the head. But David discovered the forgiveness of God. Lord, forgiveness is with thee. Amen. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And he did. Uphold me without free spirit. Make me to hear joy and gladness. I'll teach transgressors thy way. And sinners shall be converted to thee. Hey, David for 9 months was miserable, but he got his smile back. Amen. And let me tell you something. You want God to be there for you. You can't be one of these fickle Christians that's going to drop in and drop out. Amen. The Christian life is not something to sign up for and sign out for. The Christian life, amen. The Christian life isn't a blog. It's not a Facebook page. It's not a temp agency. Amen. The Christian life is a lifestyle. And if God loves you to the end, you ought to serve God to the end. And David said, you know why God was my stay? Because I made up my mind from a little boy. I've decided to follow of Jesus. No turning back. I'm not asking who's here on a snowy day. I'm not asking who dropped an offering plate, an offering in the offering plate. I'm not asking who's got a shout doing your favorite song, who's got a prayer before you go to bed, who's got a nice suit on when you come to the house of God. I'm asking who's made up your heart from the very soles of your feet to the crown of your head, that you may sin, you may fail, you may falter, and you will mess up, but you shall not depart from the Lord. Can I promise to be serving him this time next year? Listen to this same man. Psalm 26. Judge me, O Lord. For I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Now, wait a minute now before you call him braggadocious. No, he's not bragging. He's telling the truth. Therefore, I shall not slide. Now, wait a minute, Dave. Who you think you are? I don't think I'm anything. But I know who he is. Amen. And as long as I trust in him, I ain't going to slide. Now, wait a minute. You can't predict what's going to happen to you tomorrow. But if you make up your mind, you're going to serve God come what may. You know what you can predict? I ain't going to slip and I ain't going to trip. You understand me? You can make up your, listen, I'm not going to run off. I'm not going to act a fool. I'm not going to give up on God. And I like how the psalm starts off with all that God did for him. Because David is stirring up excitement in his heart for the goodness of God. But David understood that the love of God that's unconditional is not the same as the promises of God that are conditional. And he says, I began to understand that it takes a clean walk and it takes consistent ways. You say, David, what do you mean? He means separate. Conduct. He said, I have not wickedly departed from the Lord. In other words, I understand that the best way to walk away from God is to walk with people, not walking with God. Let me tell you something. Let me give you some tips. It took somebody telling you about Jesus to escort you into the family of God. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You may be in your house, you may be at home. Somebody showed you the Bible. Holy Ghost of God, if nobody, showed you that you were a sinner. I'm going to tell you something. Most folks, when you leave God, it's going to take somebody else to escort you from him too. And I'm going to tell you something. The devil knows who fits your personality to escort you away from God. It's amazing how many believers I've heard sing about the goodness of God and the greatness of God and the faithfulness of God. I've heard them testify. I've heard them sing. I've heard them pray. I've heard them speak about the wonders of all God's grace. And yet somehow, some way, some shyster comes in your life and says, God hadn't been that good. Why don't you try this? Why don't you go there? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And how many times I've run into believers and I thought, what in the world happened? How could you walk away from God? God? How could you fail God? How could you turn your... You can't blame God for it. But what happens is wickedness. When you start jumping into wickedness from other people, your eyes become blinded. You start denying the things you once declared. Men start practicing what they preached against. Christians start living in a way they once left. And David says, if I had done that, this song would have sounded different. Everybody wants the Lord was my stay. Oh, the Lord was my stay. Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think he stays anybody? No, no. David said you need clean walk. Consistent ways. He said, I have separated conduct. I had some sustained continuity. No matter when I kind of had a few stumbles and slips, I managed to find my way back to the right path. See, let me tell you something. Character will always prove itself. We're always as believers trying to determine who's real and who's not real. We don't have to do that. You do not have to bring back a verdict on whether some other Christian is genuine. They'll bring their own verdict. By their fruit you shall know them. Amen. And listen to me. Nothing is great until it's tested. Nothing is great until it's tested. Christians aren't great in a month. Marriages aren't great in a year. Amen. Relationships aren't great. No. It ain't great. They may be good. Amen. But good is the enemy of great. You know why? Because we've got so much good, great is not that desired. Amen. And a lot of people are cool with being good because great is becoming so extinct that they don't even try at great anymore. Let me tell you something. The best way to get to great is to get dissatisfied with good. And David said, I found myself stumbling, but I never walked away from God. And now as an older man, I'm looking back at my life and I'm glad that when I failed, I'm glad when I numbered the people that I knew I was wrong and I went to Ornan's house and built a sacrifice. I'm glad when I slept with Bathsheba, killed her husband, lusted after her when I should have been to war. I'm glad I asked God for forgiveness and I got back on the right path. I'm glad when I didn't do right on my family and I lost my sons and I messed up. I'm glad that I didn't give up on God. I've stumbled over my life and I made some mistakes. But one thing I've learned, don't you let one dumb decision cause you to make a major foolish decision. As dumb as you are when you disobey God, don't be dumber and depart from Him. He said, why? Because when I walk away, His stay that is conditional doesn't go with me. Look at this one, and I'll close. The conscious word. Verse number 22. For. That word for means what? Because. Did you hear verse 21? Oh, I've kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. But here's why I kept it. 22. For all His judgments. You got a pen? Circle all. Underline all. Highlight all. Pick your Bible up and kiss the word all. Do something with it. For all His judgments were what? Before me. And watch this now. Now His judgments were before me. David's not doing any action there, technically. But we find in the next phrase that the judgments being before him was up to David. And I did not put away his statutes from me. This is where I'll close. conscious were. He said, after a bunch of mistakes that I regret, after some decisions in life I'd love to take back, after some mistakes on the path that I said, David, what in the world were you thinking? He said, still to this day, I'm still his servant. And let me tell you why I'm still serving him. All his judgments and his statutes I didn't put away. Now watch this now. In 5 years, I want it to be said of me, he's still walking with God. Now wait a minute now. In 5 months, I want it to be said of me, he's still walking with God. In 5 weeks, I want it to be said of me, he's still walking with God. In 5 days, I want it to be said of me, he's still walking with God. In 5 hours, I want it to be said of me, he's still walking with God. In 5 minutes, I want it to be said of me, he's still walking with God. Hey, let me fast forward all the way to the 5 years and all the way back to the 5 minutes and everything in between and show you how you can make sure you're not walking with God. Walk with him like this and do like this. Now, every child of God who's not walking with God anymore, put that book away. Now, wait a minute now. What word did you circle in your Bible? All. Now, I mean, you don't have to. That means you don't have to put the whole Bible down. You just have to decide which portions of it you don't want to pay no attention to. Huh? Some people say, I still read my Bible. Yeah, but you just read the stuff you know you're doing. I love the Bible. Which parts? Psalms. Except when 119. Listen, there are Christians in this building who've been saved for 20 years. And there are still portions of scripture you've never read. I'm still trying to read all of the Bible. Wait a minute. I'd be ashamed to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and know that God wrote the whole book to me. And I'm going, well, I never kind of got to that one right there. But I know about that ark. I know about that man who was swallowed by the whale. Them two people that ate that fruit. I know about that boy that gave a lunch $5. I got the basic major things. But you failed because you didn't keep all of it before you. Now, I don't know where you're headed this week. But I'm going to tell you something. Wherever you're going, keep this before you. He said, I kept it before. I did not put it away. By the way, here's some convenient ways to put the Bible away. Hear it preached and ignored. Hear it explained to you and get mad at it. Amen. Hear it in front of you, not memorize it. Amen. He said, I've not put it away. I can put it behind my back. I can put it on the shelf. I can set it. I'm asking you a question. Tell me 5 decisions that you're making in your life right now. And tell me if all 5 of them were sifted through this book. Before you decided to go, before you decided to take it, before you decided to allow it, before you decided to date it. I have not departed. And everybody goes, wow, David is a super Christian. I could never be like him. Listen to me. There's no such thing as a super Christian. Celebrities are in Hollywood. Servants are in heaven. We don't have no famous servants. Wow, he's just a great Christian because he was gifted with the it factor. No, that's basketball, football, Christianity. Don't nobody got it. The only thing you get is you get Jesus. Amen. He's not it. He's all that. You understand? He's all and in all. I don't have more of Jesus than you have. I don't have more of the Holy. You don't have more than I do. We started off at the same line. When we got saved, we started and dwelt by the Holy Spirit of God on our way to heaven. And most of all, with the full written word of God, Genesis to Revelation. If I'm on the straight and narrow path, it ain't because my car got cruise control and I got a newer model that keeps it from going out of its lane. It's because every day I drive with this thing in front of me. And if it says right, I go right. And if it says left, I go left. And if it says stop, I stop. Let me tell you, not just a major decision, not just marriage and jobs and moves. I'm talking about every decision. Your next thought, what you turn on when you get in the car, the words of your mouth, the meditation of your heart, the waywardness of your thought life. It will be straight if the Bible is in front of you. When you put it away. When you put it away, you're going to walk away. And you'll have nobody to blame. Well, he did it to me. He did it to you. Yeah, whatever. But you did it to this. And David said, you know why I couldn't stay how I was when I messed up with that Bathsheba? You know why? This thing was beating on my heart. And for 9 months, I put it away. I don't hear nothing. And it was so far away from me that when another person that did less than what I did, I was told about it, I was ready to kill him. I was sitting behind somebody in the car yesterday. And the light turned green. And the person didn't move. And I said, what in the world is that woman doing still sitting at that light? And the Holy Ghost of God said, what you do about 5 times a week? I'm hoping that the light don't see it green. Now I'm mad because she ain't moved because I'm behind her. But I ain't thinking about all them people behind me. And most of the time, by the time we see the light green, it's yellow. And all 5 people that were honking while it was green, then missed the light. And I said to myself, I said, how quick I am to condemn in others what I will excuse in myself. That's because I am not a good judge of my own character. There's something I need that looks at me and doesn't butter me up, doesn't coddle me, doesn't flatter. Listen to me. I'm thankful for all the places I go. And before I preach, I get these flowery, colorful introductions. Praise the Lord for it. But I'm glad that when I open my Bible every day, I'm glad this Bible doesn't go, hello, great pastor, I'm so glad to see you. I'm glad that Bible goes, you better love your wife, you better love your kids, you better think right, you better act right, you better do right, because ain't nothing in this book that's impressed with you. And it keeps me straight. Amen. Over these years, the reason why I'm still serving God, because I've not put this thing away. Listen to me. I'm thankful for good training. I really am. But training alone from my parents is not enough to last to stay on the path. See. You don't do right because you're in the right family. You do right because you take what you got from the right family and keep it in your heart. Listen. Wherever you go this week, whatever you do, don't put this thing away. Keep it in front of you. And when every Joe Blow and Susie Q and what's her name come along and say, hey, we're going here. Hey, we're doing this. Hey, let's be friends. Look at this first and then look at them. And if this and them don't jive, go with this and holler at them. Because if they don't jive with this when they invite you, you won't jive with this when you join them. And then you'll be over here with them, coming back over here to this and trying to get people that used to run with you when you were with this to now join you with them. Because you don't even like this anymore because this don't look good when you're with them. And I'm going to tell you, I'll go with the Bible all the way. Yeah. And we'll see each other at the finish line. Amen. Being able to say what Paul said. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. No wonder David made a statement in the Bible the Lord was my stay. And we don't see it all through the Bible. See, God stays certain people. And if you want God to stay with you, stay with God. Our Father, we thank you.